Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 165, Vedyaha. We all know this name from Bhagavad Gita, Vaidaischa Sarver Aham Eva Vedyaha. Krishna says, well, Srila Prabhupada translates this as, by all the Vedas I am to be known. So, Vedya means knowable, or the proper subject of knowledge. So one very important point here is that Krishna is knowable. The Absolute Truth is knowable. He's not unknowable, as some people claim, that no one can understand what is ultimate reality. No one can know Krishna. No, he is knowable. One may also think that, well, Krishna, if he was there at all, if he wasn't just some mythical figure, then that was a long time ago, and those days have passed, so how can we know Krishna? But Krishna is knowable even now, because he is eternal. We are eternal, and he is omnipresent at all times and all places. He's eternal and omnipresent, and he is our very best friend. So there's really no reason why he's not knowable. He wants to make himself known. That's why he comes to this world, to remind us of him, who have forgotten him, and who create various kinds of philosophical methods to avoid Krishna by saying such things as, he is not knowable. But he is knowable. He is indeed knowable. So that's one meaning of the word Vedya. And another meaning is that he should be known, or that he is the proper object of knowledge. So that tendency is there in every human to want to know, especially those who are more intellectually inclined. Many people, they're just content with eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Or, in the modern age, also watching sports on TV, playing with their dog, and other such meaningless diversions. But there are a class of people who are interested to know the whole, to know more about the world, what constitutes it, and thus they become as intellectual scientists, historians, geographers, art critics, journalists. They find out what is the latest situation, interviewing different people, what are their opinions. They take surveys and analyze the data thus produced. The desire to know is prominent in human society, especially in the modern age. It's called the information age, sometimes called. because there's so much information available, especially nowadays through the internet. However, everyone's missing the point if they miss Krishna. The real object of knowledge is Krishna. If we know Krishna, then and we not only know Krishna, but know exactly who he is. I mean, there may be many people who know Krishna, just like in India, pretty much everyone has heard of Krishna, even today. But they don't really know Krishna or understand Krishna unless they take guidance from a bona fide spiritual master and a bona fide parampara. Otherwise, they cannot know Krishna. But if one knows Krishna as he is, then yomam eva samudho janati purushottamam sasarva vidbhajate mam sarva bhavena bharata. Krishna says, one who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, then that person knows everything. So, of course, Krishna is all-knowing, and the jiva cannot become all-knowing as Krishna is, but Krishna says that one who knows me knows everything. That means that he can understand everything in proper perspective. When we see the sun rising, we know this sun is rising. Why? Under the order of Govinda. Yat chakshuresha savita sakala graharnam raja samastu suramurti rashesha tejaha yat yagyaya brahmati sambhrita kala chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The mighty sun is like the eye of the world, gives light to the whole world, without which the universe could not exist, gives heat and light, traveling on his course throughout the heavens. But that is all under the order of Govinda, the original personality of Godhead. So one sees the sun and realizes, oh, now it's going on the order of Govinda. One sees the light of the moon and night, and he knows that this is Krishna, Prabhasmi Shashi, the Krishna. He gives light as the moon. When seeing everything in relationship to Krishna, the sun, the moon, birth, death, happiness, distress of all living beings that we observe, we see our own also, the body aging and sometimes healthy, sometimes sick, and realize everything in relation to the knowledge given by Krishna, and realizing that everything is in relationship with Krishna. So, Krishna is particularly knowable by the Vedas. Vedaischa sarvaraham eva vedyah. All the Vedas are meant for knowing Krishna. However, elsewhere we find Vedeshu durlabham, difficult to find in the Vedas. So what does that mean? Well, I discussed that in some detail just the other day, how all the Vedas are meant for knowing Krishna, but on the other hand, most of the Vedas, as Krishna himself says, this Chaigunya Vishaya Veda, the Vedas are mostly concerned with the three modes of material nature. So it's a whole process. Not all the knowledge in the Vedas, at least as most people perceive it, directly reveals Krishna. So the proper object of knowledge, what is the proper object of knowledge or subject of knowledge This is discussed in the Mundaka Upanishad, and Srila Prabhupada often quoted this line, this spoken by one Shaunaka to Angira. Kasmin nu bhagavo vigyate saravam idang vigyatam bhavatiti. A very good question. I wonder how many students ask this question in the universities. They don't come to this level of asking this very, it's the essential question, but maybe they never even think to ask it. It means, what is it that by knowing which, everything else is known? There's nothing else to ask about. What is that? Presumably people don't even think there is, or can't imagine that there is even such a phenomenon, that by knowing which, everything else is known. It presumes that there is an ultimate principle of reality. This question presumes that. So this question is parallel to Atato Brahma Jignasa, that now we have achieved the human form of life, or we have achieved a consciousness developed more than that of simply wanting to enjoy this material world, then we should inquire into the ultimate reality. And in fact, in the answer is given, also describes that Brahma, that ultimate reality, as is generally the subject of the Upanishads, what is generally seen as the impersonal representation of the ultimate truth. But the immediate reply of Angira was that within the Vedas there are two kinds of knowledge. Veda means vidya, knowledge. There are two kinds of knowledge: paravidya and aparavidya, means superior knowledge and not superior knowledge, or knowledge of that which is beyond this world and knowledge of that which is not beyond this world. So, what is aparavidya, or knowledge pertaining to this world, that is described within the Vedic corpus as the Rig Veda. This encompasses the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, then the six Vedangas, Shiksha, which means proper pronunciation, phonetics, Kalpa, rules for rituals, Vyakaran, grammar, Niruktam, which means the meanings of words derived from their roots, etymology, Chanda, the proper meter, Jyotish, which means astronomy and astrology. Whereas, so this is all mundane knowledge within the Vedas. But paravidya, the proper subject of knowledge, is knowledge of that which is akshara. Or a synonym of this is Brahma. So akshara means from atuksha, from the beginning to the end, everything included. So, that which is, encompasses everything. Whereas the Trigunya Vishaya, the subject of the three modes of material nature, which constitutes that of the Vedas, that is only of a very small spectrum. Whereas Brahmagyan, this knowledge of spiritual reality, encompasses everything. So that is ultimately, of course, Krishna. Krishna is the, that's the whole, but this Vishnu Sahasranam, this by giving this name Vedyaha. Already the name has been given for Vishnu as Veda. So Vedya, it emphasizes that that which is described as in the Upanishad in an impersonal way, that is ultimately Krishna. Yadadvitam brahmo panishadi tadapyasya tanubha ya atmantaryami purusha itiso syangsha vibhavaha shadarishvarya purno yahiha bhagavan sasvayamayam nachaitanyat krishnaj jagati paratattvam paramiha. The invocation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita includes this statement that what is described in the Upanishads in an impersonal way is but the effulgence of his body. The Paramatma, the indweller within everyone's heart, that is his one feature, localized feature. Who is that? That is Krishna, full of six opulences, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from him. Now, this name, Vedaha, this is the first of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, of 10 names given in one verse. And beginning from this name, Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, he links all these names to the appearances of Vishnu in the famous pastime of the churning of the milk ocean, in which the Lord appeared as Vishnu himself, one of the demigods, pulling the rope, Vasuki, the rope, as Kurmadev for balancing, the pivot for Mandara Mountain, as a multi-armed form on top of Mandara Mountain, and as Mohini Murti. So, Baladev describes that this name Vedyaha means he who gave nectar to the demigods and removed their poverty. Exactly how, or even vaguely how, the name Vedya is etymologically extracted to mean that, I don't know. Have to be honest. So, the next name is Vaidya, which is related to Vidya. Vidya, Vedya, Vaidya. Vidya means knowledge, Vedya means the object of knowledge, and Vaidya means one who knows the knowledge. So Vidya is a general term for knowledge, and there are also specific Vidyas described in Vedic literature. Just like in a university, there are different departments, Department of History, Department of Geography, Department of Geology, and so many things. So there are specific Vidyas. So, one who, this name Vaidya is, of course, can be given to anyone who's knowledgeable, apart from Krishna. Although no one can be as knowledgeable as Krishna. Vaidya is a synonym for doctor. In the Sanskrit term means doctor. The doctor is supposed to be very knowledgeable. You wouldn't want to go to a doctor who's not knowledgeable, especially not a brain surgeon. You only need a brain surgery and go to someone who says, well, Yeah, I'll give it a try. I think I heard something about that sometime. It's a very precise knowledge and expertise is required. Such precise expertise is needed to operate on the brain because it's a very delicate and apparatus. And if we're not precise, then we're going to have a mess. So if we consider that the whole universe, how precisely it needs to be set up, according to our friends, the atheistic scientists, well, we're not very friendly with them. I'm just trying to be polite here. According to them, the conditions required to set up the universe are such that there are certain preconditions necessary for the Big Bang. Pow! And what came after the Big Bang? There are certain conditions necessary after the Big Bang so that we're all sitting here today. Intelligent life. Life and intelligent life. It required so many preconditions, every one of which is highly improbable. They say it themselves, that to have such and such a condition, there's a certain amount of all these chemicals in the right proportions, the possibility of that is 10 to the minus and put another very big number after that. So it's very unlikely. And when you put them all together, it becomes 10 to the power of minus, and you put some figure which will stretch round and round the globe a few times if you write down all the numbers. So it's practically impossible. I mean, that's the obvious conclusion. That it comes into being by chance. But if it doesn't come into being by chance, then it requires a designer, a very intelligent and capable and knowledgeable designer. So what kind of knowledge must he have in order to produce this world with all set up in such a manner that it goes on? Gachatiti jagat, that which keeps on going, that which is always moving, that is the definition of jagat, of the universe. So Krishna, it's not that he had to study and sit down and make some drawings and then look, think about it again and then work it out a bit more and say, okay, we're ready to go now. I think we can have a try at the making a universe now. I think we're all ready. What do you think, Lakshmi? And you say, well, I don't know. Anyway, take your breakfast. It's time for breakfast. But rather, that knowledge is inherent in him. A level of knowledge which we cannot even begin to fathom. Now, Vaidya specifically means knowledge of the Vedas. And the Vedas, they're said to be apaurusheya, which means they're not made by anyone. Or it can be understood to mean that they're not made by any mundane person. But another way, we can also say they're not made by anyone, even by Vishnu himself, because they always exist as he does. In one sense, we say, well, everything comes from him. But in another sense, they always exist. Just existence of a phenomenon means that simultaneously there is knowledge about it. It's the knowledge about it simultaneously exists with it, somewhat independent of it. Not, it's dependent and independent, just like this book is so many centimeters in dimension this way, dimension this way, so three dimensions. So the fact that it is this, what would we call that, deep, this wide, and this long, that the paper is, the paper is more or less a white color, that these are facts about this book, which they're just there because the book is there. So similarly, knowledge of Krishna, the Vedas, is always there because he's there. But only he properly understands it, because it's extremely, extremely complex. If we see this whole world is extremely complex, then how much more complex is the Maker? It's not that a more complex system will arise from a less complex one. That's even the scientists theoretically understand that. Although they say the whole universe came into being out of nothing, which is a pretty stupid theory. There's even a little video clip I saw of this Richard Dawkins, who's a great proponent of biological evolutionary theory, which says that by chance mutations of organisms, the various species develop and improve and then convert into other species, which requires an increase in the information content in their genetic code. But this little video clip I saw, when Richard Dawkins was asked, can you think of any example of a chance mutation increasing the information code in any genes? And he couldn't think of it. His whole theory rests on this, and he couldn't think of it. He couldn't think of one example. That this universe, with all its complexity, comes from which is practically beyond our ability to understand hardly anything about it whatsoever. And even when we think we've understood something, and then the scientists do more research and find out, they're always finding out that their theories are wrong or incomplete. And they have this idea that the laws of physics should apply everywhere, in all times and all places and all circumstances. But then they find something which, or the laws of nature which they've discovered. But then they're always finding out exceptions which undermine what they think is a solid law. Just like, for instance, they thought that organisms couldn't exist at a temperature above boiling point. But then they found there are organisms, and of course Prabhupada, he always said that before they discovered this, that there are living beings in the fire. That the theory that all germs are destroyed by boiling. If you have, for instance, some medical apparatus, then you're supposed to sterilize it by boiling it. But Prabhupada said there are living beings that exist in very high temperatures. So now they discovered that to be true. How did Prabhupada know? Because he's Vaidya, he knows the Vedic knowledge. So Krishna, he's the most knowledgeable. He knows the Vedas, which are about him. S- So when we see things within the creation which we don't understand, we can either glorify him, or we can think, oh, now we have to understand it and do all kinds of research so that we can attempt to manipulate it. But better that we take knowledge from him. He is Vaidya, doctor. So he gives the proper direction. Of course, a doctor in the modern age means someone who simply treats disease, but a much better doctor is one who teaches us how to be free from getting disease in the first place. There's no such... Preventive medicine is not part of the medical, or it's a very small part of the course in medicine, because if you taught people not to get sick, then the doctors wouldn't have a job, and then what would be the use of their studying so much if they can't squeeze all the money out of people and make themselves rich? So Krishna gives the knowledge. Of course, everyone in this world is sick, but Krishna gives the knowledge by which we can save ourselves, or we can take precaution against falling into the darkest ignorance. So the whole Vedic direction, social directions, human society should be divided like this. The Brahmins, these are their duties. The Kshatriyas, these are these duties. The Brahmins are to be respected like this. Kshatriyas are to be respected. Vaishyas, Shudras, they have their roles, the roles of women, how children are to be treated. All kinds of directions are there. From the Vaidya, from the proper doctor. So he is the, he gives the proper medicine for getting free from birth and death, which is the real disease of material existence. Now, Baladev Vidyabhushan, oh, another avatar I mentioned before. There's a, in the Samudra Manthana Leela, the pastime of churning the ocean, another avatar of Vishnu who appeared was Danvantari, who's the doctor. You'll see that the Ayurvedic doctors, they always keep a picture of Danvantari, who gave the medical science by which people may be benefited. And he gave the... Baladev states that he gave the nectar to the demigods. So, name 167, Sada Yogi, one who is always a yogi. Tasmat Yogi Bhava Arjuna. Krishna tells Arjuna, you should be a yogi. So, for one's own benefit, one is enjoined to be a yogi. Once one has come to the human form of life, one should be a yogi. Yogi means one who is linked. In this material world, everyone is ayukta, or not linked up. That's why we're in this suffering in this material world, because we lost our link with Krishna. So yoga is the process of linking with the absolute truth. Most yogis don't even realize that the absolute truth is Krishna, but they have an idea to link with the absolute, even though they may not very clearly understand who that absolute is. So the living beings in this world, they are dislinked. But Krishna is always linked up. Even though the conditioned souls, they reject their link with Krishna, but Krishna is very kind to keep a link with us. He doesn't reject us. He lets us play out our game of being separate from Him, but He remains linked to us and goes with us wherever we go. Just like the prisoners in a prison, they are dislinked or disconnected from mainstream society due to being criminals. But the government still keeps a connection to them and gives them the opportunity to rectify. So Krishna is particularly always linked with His devotees. The devotees should never think, I am alone, there's no one to help me. Devotee knows that Krishna is always with him in all circumstances. And devotee is never afraid because he knows that Krishna is looking after me. Whatever happens, Krishna is so kind, he'll always be with me. Krishna is linked with everything. He is the linking factor. The scientists now, they claim to have found the what they call the God particle. But you may say that, but there is actually God Himself who holds everything together, who links everything together. How is everything all linked together? Well, they may say gravity holds everything together, but there are lots of problems with the gravitational theory. For to solve which they have invented invisible matter, which is supposed to constitute most of the matter of the universe. You can't know what it is, but it's there somewhere. So it's, as Srila Prabhupada also informed us, it's not gravity that holds everything together, it's Krishna. By His energies. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate swabhavaki gyanabala kriyacha. By His energies, by His multifarious energies, He holds everything together. He is everywhere. So He is linked, He is everywhere and He's linked with everything. So Krishna is particularly linked with Srimati Radharani. His he is Radha Lingita. He's embraced by Radha, and she is Shama Lingita. She is embraced by Krishna. So they're always linked with each other. They're always united, and even if by force of circumstance, which may seem to be stronger than Krishna. How is that possible? Is Krishna a servant of circumstance? Well, yes, he becomes subservient to his Lila Shakti. So, he may appear to be, he's separated from Radha, but by intense feeling and thought, he's always united with her. Another meaning, there may be so many meanings, here's another meaning. He is always attainable. He's always there for us to link with. So in that way, he's also Sada Yogi. Just like he's knowable, he's also attainable. He's always there. We may reject him for many millions of lifetimes, but he's always waiting for us to turn to him. Sada yogi, he's always a yogi, is always alert and awake. So these are different meanings that different commentators have given. So he's always alert and awake, especially to the needs of his devotees. We sleep, he doesn't sleep. He's always awake. So, sata, another meaning can be sataha ayogi. So, it can also mean that he's dislinked. In another sense, he's dislinked. He always remains aloof from, although he is linked with everything, he's also dislinked. He's aloof from this world. Mayata tamidam sarvam jagada vyakta murtina natsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. Krishna speaks of this paradox in Bhagavad Gita that I pervade and support this entire universe, yet this universe is not in me. So he seems to speak exactly contradictory. But that is possible for him, that he's in one sense intimately linked with everything, and in another sense aloof from everything also. Another way in that he's always dislinked. He's always dislinked from the endeavors and the attitudes of the demons and the atheists. He has nothing to do with that. Even though he is upadrashtanumanta cha, he sees everything and he allows everything, but he's not involved. He doesn't approve of the activities of those who are non-devotees, and particularly those who are extremely sinful. He's always a yogi because he's always in meditation. He's always thinking about himself, his devotees, and everything in existence. Another meaning, a yogi, samatvam yoga uchate. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that samatvam, or equanimity, that is yoga. That means that one is always equipoised. One is not elated when there is cause for happiness, and not distressed when there is cause for distress. So such a person who is of steady consciousness is called a yogi. That is called a yogi. So in this way, he's also a yogi. So, yogi, well, there are three kinds of people. There's the bhogi, rogi, and yogi. You've maybe heard that recording of the lecture in which Srila Prabhupada says that one who passes stool once a day is a yogi. One who passes stool twice a day is a bhogi. And one who passes stool more is a rogi. So devotees were laughing. When they heard bogi, they thought that means someone who's bogus. And rogi means someone who's a rogue. But actually, bogi means a sense enjoyer, and rogi means a diseased person. So a yogi is someone who is... his consciousness is not one of enjoying this material world. So he lives aloof from this world. So in that way also, Krishna is not a person. Yeah, and his consciousness is very peaceful. And he has bodily health also, because he lives, he doesn't indulge in the senses. So a yogi is of bodily good health and mental good health. So that is naturally the state of Krishna. He's not a worldly sense enjoyer. Of course, he's also the greatest enjoyer, but not a worldly sense enjoyer, not interested in this very low class mundane sense enjoyment. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he interprets this name to mean one who always acts for the welfare of the demigods. So particularly that became apparent in so many instances, but in the churning of the milk ocean. That was seen how at every step the demigods who started off in an inferior position to that of the demons, the demons had outfoxed them. So Vishnu helped the demigods to regain their position of superiority. So there are three more names from the thousand names that Bhishma Dev spoke. And how many names are there of Vishnu? Unlimited names. And devotees, they can even make up names. Just like, I don't know, but you won't find this. Probably Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made this name Yogindra Vandana. May not be anywhere else. It's a good name. One name is there, Bhaktivinoda Ashray. That's a name Bhaktivinoda Thakur made up. Made up means, not exactly made up, but we don't see it anywhere else. So there are unlimited names of Vishnu. So there are three more there. Vidya Vaidya Sada Yogi. Hare Krishna. Any question about this?
What is the name for Krishna always acts for the welfare of the demigods?
Acts for the welfare of the demigods? Well, this one, Sada Yogi. That's how Baladev Vidyabhushan interprets this name. Exactly how that is derived, I can't say. Yeah, okay. Well, always is there, Sada, Yogi, acting for the welfare. Well, Yogi, practically that name could be interpreted in practically any way. If you say to link, it's just who or what to be linked with. So, that's what it means. That's the welfare of the demigods. One who always acts for the welfare of demigods, called Sada Yogi. Anything else? Any other questions as you're all going to go out and work on the land, on the garden or whatever you can remember today? Krishna is Vaidya, Vaidya, Sada Yogi. Any other questions? No. All right then. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.